We just take a walk, a quiet walk. You know? We'll just go out, no dogs. Normally when we take a walk, it's with the dogs, you know. Little dogs, little bladders, you know. We'll take them, but no dogs, no phones, nothing to disturb us, just she and I. And we'll go out and take a little time, just time to think, to reflect together, just a time to deepen our relationship one with one another, simply by walking, talking, and looking into one another's lives. A time to know each other better, to fall in love again. I want to do that with Jesus this morning. We've come here, it's Sabbath. We've all been extremely busy through the week. I'm sure if I asked for a show of hands of the number of people who had gotten 8 hours of sleep every night this week, I bet there wouldn't be very many of you. Because you're busy people. But here we are. It's Sabbath. And we can take a moment to put on the brakes and just take a walk with Jesus. Open your Bibles. We'll be using your Bibles quite a bit this week. So open your Bible. We're going to take a walk with Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a very interesting book. Isaiah chapter 25. What's Jesus like? Let's look again. Let's see one more time what Jesus is like. Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25, beginning with verse 4. Are you with me? Isaiah 25 and verse 4. For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress. Think about God as your strength. Times when you just decided you'd had enough and you needed help from somewhere else. Most of the time when we decide we've had enough, that's when we cut loose, we burst out, we go crazy on somebody. But let's think of had enough as the time where we reach for someone else to give us the strength we need. That's the time we turn to Jesus. It says, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. Sometimes we need that from God as well. A refuge from the storms of our lives. Because sometimes life is bigger than us. Sometimes it's more than we can handle. If you haven't gotten to that point yet, it'll happen. It'll happen. God will take you there. Chapter 27 now, Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 5. Isaiah 27 and verse 5. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. Think about what God wants to do for us. He wants to make peace with us. He wants us to make peace with him. He is our strength. And we can make peace with him. Do we value that peace? Too often we value the up-to-the-minute report. No, once every half hour is not enough for the weather. I need it every 10 minutes. I don't know about headline news anymore. I haven't watched it in a long time. But their catchphrase used to be, give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world. The whole world in 22 minutes, that's pretty good, you know? And our phones ring for everything, you know? Phone calls are not enough. Now we need to know when we get texts and emails and, oh, hey, don't miss your Facebook updates, huh? Peace. Do we have a clue what peace is in our world anymore? Do we know what it is? I've been challenged recently to do something really weird. I'm not sure. And that is, I can hardly say the word, unplug. Unplug. Like, take my cell phone and not just silence it, but turn it off. I haven't done it yet, I'll be honest. I haven't done it yet. It's a little scary. But one of these days, I'm going to try it. Turn off the cell phone, and the computer, and the tablet, and the TV, and everything else, and just unplug. And see if I can still hear my own thoughts. See if I can still hear that still, small voice. Can we hear Jesus in the midst of our modern uproar, our connected uproar? I'm inviting you today to connect with Jesus, to connect with Him, to make peace with Him. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 and verses 1 through 3. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 3. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. Brothers and sisters, can we appreciate Jesus for his character, not for his impact? Am I making sense here? You follow where I'm going with this? Does Jesus have to be the whiz-bang miracle man? Or can we accept that he is Jesus Christ, the righteous? Can we handle that? Or do we need him to constantly be dazzling us? Can we see him for the beauty of his character? For the wonder of his sheer grace? Can we pause long enough to appreciate Jesus without him crying out, without him raising his voice? Can we see Jesus being gentle? Verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. Think about that. Think about how tender Jesus is. Think about that tenderness that is so careful with even a bruised reed. perhaps you have sometimes felt like a bruised reed, almost snapped by the wind of your life rushing by the difficulties that you've faced, by the troubles you've had, by the losses of loved ones and others that we have suffered right here. Perhaps you feel sometimes like a bruised reed. Know that Jesus is so tender and loving that he cares for you. Even if you can't hold your head up high, Jesus is there for you. He cares for you. Are you seeing the picture of Jesus that's emerging here? The picture of the one who loves us so? Isaiah 49, verse 25. Isaiah 49, verse 25. 49, verse 25. But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible be delivered. Why is that? How can that be? For I, God says, will contend with him who contends with you. What a promise, brothers and sisters. What a promise God has for us. That he will contend. Not just a big brother will contend, but he will contend with those who contend with you. And then he goes further and he says, I will save your children. You know what the number one request is that we get during prayer meeting, during Vespers, during other times when we pray? Pastor, let's pray for our children. Let's pray for our grandchildren, yes? God has a promise here for us that as we call upon him, he will be there for our children. That God will save our children. What a blessing. God is there, not just for us. Especially as it's a little scary, but as I lose control, right? You know, you lose control of your kids eventually. It's like when they're little, you say, all right, wash your hands, let's get ready for dinner. And what do? Okay, maybe they don't always, but they know what they're supposed to do. And if you're there, they'll go and wash their hands, right? And they get ready for dinner. But later on, it doesn't work like that. You just can't do that as easily. What do we do when we lose control? And then we have to really pause and consider, did we ever really have control? What we might have had was influence. Did we have control? And so as we really think about it, we're not the masters of our universe that we thought we might have been. And so knowing that God is there, God is contending with those who contend with us, that God is there for our children, what a blessing. The battle is not ours, right? The battle is the Lord's. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, are you seeing Jesus as we go through? Isaiah chapter 61, what's the picture you're getting as we go through? Who are you seeing? Isaiah chapter 61, beginning with verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Can you see Jesus there? Preaching good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus is there for the brokenhearted. for those who have been through it, been there, got busted, and they're now kicked off in the corner, busted. You ever felt busted? Brokenhearted is such a nice word. It's almost kind. But sometimes, when the world really hits you, you don't feel brokenhearted, you feel just plain busted. Not even just broken, but just plain messed up and busted. And God is there then too. He's there to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That's our God. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. How about you? As we put on the brakes of our lives here after a really busy week, can you really bring it to a halt and consider where you are and what you need? I'm sure you've had this experience before. You're going through the day. People are putting stuff on your desk. They're doing stuff all day. You're out there. You're busy. You're going at it. You get home. You eat dinner. You had to go off and rush off the prayer meeting. You had to rush off to some other thing. You're busy, busy, busy. And man, you're just going at it all day long. And you get home and you brush your teeth and you gargle and you get changed and you get into bed and then you go, oh man, I'm exhausted. Been there? Yeah, like every day this week, right? Today's that day when you stop for a minute and go, I'm exhausted of the world. I'm tired of the world. I'm tired of all it has going on. I'm tired of the jangled nerves. I'm tired of the rush, the hubbub, the chaos. And we take stock for a moment of what God can do for us, of what God wants to do for us. We've been rushing around, and I'm sure you've had this experience too. You look down on your arm and you go, where'd I get that bruise? Right? Where'd that come from? You don't remember getting bumped. But there it is. You've been rushing so fast, you didn't even notice that you were bruised. You've been banged up by life and didn't even realize you've been bruised. Or maybe it was a cut. You ever look down and suddenly you're wiping blood and it's like, where is that coming from? And you look yourself over and, whoa, when did that happen? And then you go in, you get the Band-Aid and you do all that stuff, right? Sometimes we need that for our soul as well. And today's that day. Today's the day when we stop and look and see that the world has banged us up a little bit. And we need the love of Jesus. We need Jesus in our lives to give us that comfort, to console us, to give us beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning. I'm not talking about the giddy, woohoo, I'm on Disney's ride kind of happiness. I'm talking about that solid joy in your soul where you know you're connected with God. That's what I'm talking about this morning. And so we've taken a walk with Jesus in the book of Isaiah. And I'd like to think about his life a little bit and reflect on him in the book of Luke now. So turn with me to the book of Luke. And I want to see more directly how he interacted with people. Take a look at Luke chapter 4:18, and the words will be familiar because we just read them in the book of Isaiah. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus said this was the work that he came to do. This was what he came here for. How did he do it? Chapter 7, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 13. Perhaps you remember this. Jesus comes into town, and as he does, he meets a widow. But not just any widow, a widow who has just lost her son. Now she's not only bereft of a husband, she's bereft of a son, and now stands alone in the world. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus has words for her. When the Lord saw her, he had what? He had compassion. Brothers and sisters, look into the face of a compassionate God who sees your need. He knows your losses. He knows the hurts of your soul when you've been even too busy to notice them yourself. And see a God who has compassion on you. He had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep. Do not weep." Jesus is speaking into our souls today with that same compassion, saying, "Do not weep." Next chapter, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. You remember this? There was a leader of a synagogue, Jairus by name, and he had a daughter that was in trouble. Jesus was on his way. And yet, along the way, there was an interruption that occurred. An interruption along the way. And sometimes maybe you feel like you're an interruption to Jesus. But Jesus has time for you. The question is not whether Jesus has time for us, but whether we, in what we think is so important. We have a life to live here, Lord, don't you know? Do we have time for Jesus? And so, a lady not willing to really impose on Jesus. Think of what that means. Imposing on God. Can you imagine? But she doesn't want to impose on Jesus. I like her spirit, but her picture of Jesus needs some help, huh? I like her spirit of not being willing to disturb, but, you know. She doesn't want to impose on him. And so she says, "I'll just reach out. Just reach out and touch the hem. Just the hem of his garment. Because I know that if I touch, I will live." So she reaches out. She touches the hem. And you know the story there. But what I want to focus on is the words of Jesus to her in verse 48, where he says, and he said to her, "Daughter." Ooh, that is sweet, huh? That is sweet. Jesus doesn't say, hey, lady, daughter, can you feel it? Jesus is there talking to her as a daughter. What does that say about your own children? They're the sons and daughters of God. He loves them like you, a parent, and far beyond as a creator and redeemer. He loves your children. It's beautiful. Daughter, be of what? Good cheer. Be of good cheer. Do you know that Jesus is speaking to you in the quietness of our sanctuary this morning? Jesus is speaking to you. Daughter, son, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Think of that. Yes, we talk a lot about your faith has made you well, go in peace. But think about what Jesus said to her deep inside, not just to her physical needs, not just to the miracles she needed to stop the issue of blood, but think of what Jesus said to her soul. Daughter, daughter, be of good cheer. Let that speak to your soul this morning. Let Jesus speak to you. Be of good cheer. And then in that same chapter, he goes on to Jairus' house, right? He goes on to Jairus' house, and in verse 52, let's pick up that story. Now all wept and mourned for her, because why? The little girl had died. They all wept. And they mourned. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough, but look what Jesus did. He said, do not weep. And then we like to focus on this next part. Oh yeah, we know, because of the sleep of the soul and all of that. That's not my point today. My point is what Jesus said first. Do not weep. Paul says, we do not mourn as others who have no hope, right? Brothers and sisters, yes, we miss those that have been parted from us. But do not weep. We have a loving Savior, a God who holds His children in the palm of His hand with such loving care. A bruised reed He will not break. What a loving Savior we have, who is willing to save our children. What a great God we have. He is not forgetful. He is not unmindful of our sorrow. But He says, do not weep. What a beautiful God we serve. How awesome is He. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. The disciples in the upper room after the death of the Savior. Talk about a heart-wrenching, horrible blow that they suffered there. Luke chapter 24, they're gathered in the upper room. Their dreams shattered, their lives unraveled. What will they do? Luke 24, Jesus appears among them. Pick up the story in verse 36. Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, what? Peace to you. Peace to you. Think of what those words meant to the disciples. Excitement? Oh yeah. They were excited to see their Lord. But the horrors that they had gone through, the terrible, terrible ordeal of watching the one that they had put all their hopes in become the victim of such jealousy, hatred, and cruel treatment, And he comes to them afterwards saying, peace to you. Let Jesus speak peace into your souls today. Mark chapter 1, we want to look into Jesus' life now in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 29. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 29. We like to talk about this one too, because this one happened on Sabbath. And it helps people understand about Sabbath and how it should work. And yet today I'm going to ignore that with your permission, because I have another focus. Mark chapter 1 verse 29, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the home of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Check their faith in Jesus. They told him about her being sick at once. Verse 31. So he came. Jesus, when he heard, did not ignore their plea. He came. Sometimes you might be praying, and it might feel like your prayers go about 8 feet high. That's how tall my ceilings are in my bedroom. I don't know about you. But it says they brought or told him about her at once. So, what does so mean? As a result, right? They told him about her at once. So, he came. It's cause and effect. He was told, he came. When he was told, he came right away. And what did he do? He came and took her by the hand. Can you see the personal touch of Jesus there? He could have spoken. He could have just thought it. And she would have been healed. But instead, he comes personally to her. He reaches out his hand and he touches her. He takes her by the hand. The personal touch of Jesus is there. And he wants to do that for you and I as well. He wants to be there for us, to touch our lives in a very personal way. So he took her by the hand and lifted her up. Oh yes, the miracle was wrought. The miracle was wrought. But the miracle was not just that she got up and ministered to them. The miracle was what happened in her soul. That Jesus came close to her. That Jesus had a relationship with her. Oh, brothers and sisters, to have that personal contact with Jesus, that personal relationship with Jesus, to know that he's not just the Savior, but he is my Savior. My Savior. Personal. My Savior. The one who has touched my life deep inside. Made a difference to me. That's the Savior who loves you so much. Verse 32, at evening, when the sun had set, there it is again, right? But forget that for a moment. They brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. All. But all, what does that mean? Verse 33, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. I want you to think, get this picture carefully here. You've got this humble fisherman's house, and in it is the Lord of life. And this city gathers together at this little hut, pretty much. And there they are, gathered outside the door. How long does it take them to get into Jesus as he's inside the house? Can you see this humongous crowd filtering down to get in a narrow doorway to get to the Savior? Brothers and sisters, hour after hour, Jesus must have sat there far into the night. And I can't imagine my Savior not being there right through until every last person had been touched. That's the Savior that's waiting for you. He's ready to touch your life today as well. Pull out your bulletin. Look on the back. You'll see a quote there at the bottom. You see the quote there? When God gave his Son to our world, he endowed human beings with what? Imperishable riches. Imperishable riches. Riches compared with which the treasured wealth of men since the world began, is nothingness. Nothingness. Christ came to the earth and stood before the children of men with the, do you love this phrase or what? Listen to this phrase. The hoarded love of eternity. Can you see the gates bursting open? Can you see the dam break as Jesus comes into our world? Love just pouring forth from heaven to earth as Jesus is poured out for you and me. Love that knows no bounds, deep and rich, more than the riches of eternity poured out for you and I. Can you see it? The hoarded love of eternity. And this is the treasure. This is the treasure that through what? Our connection with him, brothers and sisters, today, this hour is devoted to a connection with Jesus. That's what we're here for, to connect with him. This is the treasure that through our connection with him, we are to do three things. What are they? Receive, to reveal, and to impart. I'm talking to you today about receiving. That's what we're here for. I want you to see what it is that you're receiving as we've walked through Isaiah. I want you to see what it is you're receiving as we walk through Luke. I want you to see what you are receiving as you look at Jesus interact with the people of Capernaum. I want you to receive Jesus today. I started this telling you that Patty and I take walks. Not so that I can go, oh, who are you? Oh, nice to meet you. It's because I want to fall in love with her again. I want to be her husband all over again. I want to love her all over again. It's It's no wrong thing to want to fall in love with Jesus all over again. To choose to walk with Him all over again. To be His disciple all over again. To be His follower all over again. To choose to say yes to Jesus all over again. To get to know Him all over again. To connect with Him all over again. Because brothers and sisters, through a busy week, we can lose connection. Let's fall in love with Jesus again today. I'm going to make a weird call now. Are you ready? A little bit of a weird call. This is going to be a call for you to stay right where you are. To not move a muscle. I don't want you to get up. I don't want you to raise your hand. I want you to bow your head. I want you to unplug for just a minute. I want you to reconnect with Jesus. Forget the world. Move past the world. Take a moment and bow before the one who loves your soul more than any other. And then I'll close. Oh, Father, we are so grateful for the treasure of Jesus, for what has been poured out for us, the one who loves us with an everlasting love, the one who heals, the one who comforts, the one who consoles. Father, we are just amazed with the gift that you have given us. And Father, we recognize that beyond all the miracles, beyond all the hoopla, beyond all of the wonders and all of the truths and all of the amazement and beyond all of that, we see a Savior. Oh, but Father, not just a Savior, not even the Savior, but Father, may He be my Savior. Father, we pray that this week we may maintain that connection with You. That we may share a little bit of that treasure that You've poured out. That we may have a little share in that. That we can receive Jesus into our hearts. In His name we pray.